the question is, what is biocentrism and why is it important? So I'm actually going to define two terms, biocentrism and ecocentrism. Biocentrism means that you are centered, what is central to your perspective is life. And ecocentrism means that what is central to you are what people call ecosystems and what I would call natural communities. So there's a distinction between those, and that biocentrism is like more connected to life generically, and ecocentric would be focusing on the larger communities of which these individuals are part. But those terms can be used somewhat interchangeably. And biocentrism or ecocentrism, either way, I'm going to use them interchangeably here, is, I think, the most important step in decolonizing from this culture. That, you know, so many indigenous people have said to me that the first and most important thing that we have to do is to decolonize our hearts and minds. And for me, a central part of that decolonization is to unwrap and destroy the anthropocentrism and the really technocentrism that are central to this culture. And anthropocentrism would be making it so humans are the center of the universe. But we're even worse than that, which is we are have become long since technocentric, which is that technology is at the center of the universe and is what's most important to us. And I've said for decades that the important shift for us to make, at which point everything changes, is when you are able to change your loyalty away from the dominant system and change your loyalty away from especially the technocentrism, but also even the human central, the anthropocentrism, the human supremacism that hold us separate from everyone else, and make it so your loyalty, you transfer your loyalty away from this culture and to the real physical world, to the land where you live and to the land in general. And the reason this is important is because you protect what you value. And if you value laptop computers and machines in general, and you value this culture more than you value the living planet, you will promote this culture at the expense of the living planet. And this is both omnicidal and ultimately suicidal. Because without a living planet, you don't have any culture whatsoever, which is why it has always been utterly clear to me that the only value that is sustainable is bio or ecocentrism. Because, again, without a forest, you don't have the people of the forest here. And it's just, it's been stunning to me for decades that I've been doing all this work to see how few people understand that if you have a culture that's consuming the planet, that eventually you won't have a planet, which means you won't have a culture. And even a lot of the mainstream environmentalists understand this to some level, because you get people like Naomi Klein or Bill McKibben talking about the need to save civilization. And just David Attenborough the other day said that civilization is going to come down because of what this culture is doing to the planet. And that has always been a stark statement of where they're preference really lies, that what they're worried about is the death of, is not the death, the end of this culture. Oh, civilization. It's like, no, actually, the oceans could be dead. No, it's the grasslands could be dead. It's the earth could be dead. And part of this problem goes far beyond philosophy, and it goes to how we live, because one of the things that any abusive system must do in order to be a successful abusive system is it must deprive its victims of their access to a larger social culture and also to means of support. And day-to-day abusers know this, that I just saw a headline the other day that a lot more women are staying with a lot more abusers because with the economy going down, it's even more difficult for them to raise the children by themselves. And so they've been made economically dependent upon their abusers and they can't leave. Nobody in their right mind is going to stick with an abuser. So an abuser knows this. So the abuser, once they've got them hooked, they can then do whatever they want. The first time my father beat my mother was when she was pregnant. He didn't beat her till then. And abusers sometimes have, there was this organization I was reading about that there was an organization working with abusers. All of them had been arrested for it. And one day one of the therapists got this idea. Let's talk to them about how long it is in a relationship when you can first beat your partner. And he expected them to just sort of throw out random answers, but instead they were very clearly thought out. It's like, no, you can't do it on the first date. You can't do it on the second date. You can't do it until they are so emotionally, economically, physically invested, then you can do it because you got them hooked. And on the larger scale, this culture knows that too. The laws of apartheid were written because those in power knew that they couldn't get enough workers for the mines, and the local people worked. They were subsistence farmers and subsistence grazers, which means they didn't have a cash economy. So what the owners of the mines and the government did is to pass laws making it so that people had to pay poll taxes, hut taxes, dog taxes, which means that they had to get cash to pay their hut tax, which means that somebody's got to go in the mine for it. And likewise, there was a Southern pro-slavery philosopher who said to his Northern abolitionist buddy, this was back in the 1830s, if we could arrange social conditions like you've got them up there, we would release the slaves immediately, because there are social conditions in which it's in the slave owner's best interest to own the slaves or not own the slaves. And it all has to do with access to land. Because if you have a lot of people, if you have not many people and a lot of land, then you, people have access to land, which means they have access to food, clothing, and shelter, which means they have access to self-sufficiency, which means they're not going to go to work for you unless you can enslave them. On the other hand, if you've got a lot of people and not much land, then people, you don't have to own them because they don't have access to land, which means they don't have any other options. And what I'm going with all this is that one of the reasons this culture is killing the planet is because our lives and social systems have been set up such that our food comes from the grocery store and our water comes from the tap. The system has inserted itself between us and life. And so on a very physical level, we become technocentric. We become grocery store centric as opposed to river centric. Because if your life depends on the grocery store and the tap, you'll defend to the death the system that brings those to you. If, on the other hand, your food comes from the land and your water comes from the river, you'll defend to the death those. And so my point is that the most important thing we can do is to switch our loyalty over to the land. And the problem is that that's very difficult because we have several thousand years worth of inculcation on every level, from the Bible telling us that humans are superior to science telling us that humans are superior, except that it can't quite do that so much anymore because the means of measurement of science have become sensitive enough that it can figure out that, yes, trees are in fact talking. But in any case, everything in this culture is aiming us toward believing that humans are special, humans are to be an anthropocentric or a technocentric perspective. And we need to fight that with everything we have. Again, why is this important? It's important because all life on Earth is dependent on all life on Earth. And that this culture is systematically destroying life on Earth. And if your loyalty is to the culture that is destroying life on Earth, you will continue to destroy life on Earth. If your loyalty is to the larger, the planet on which all life depends, you will fight to defend that.